You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
And good morning. Do we have any announcements this morning? Okay, if there are no other announcements, we'll go to the scripture reading. It's Ecclesiastes 1, 9 through 12. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. And Father God, we just want to pray for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Scripture that we had basically is telling us that there's nothing new. And we're a pretty proud generation, and we think we come up with a lot of stuff new. And we probably don't have a clue about what the culture was prior to Noah's flood. I want to just visit with you. Don't want to preach to you. Don't want to try to teach you anything. Y'all are too far gone for that. I just want to talk to you a little bit today about maybe some ideas, some thinking. I don't have to tell you of the situation that our nation is in. I don't have to go over all of the problems that we've got. Many in this room have lived in some unusual times. We've seen our nation degenerate very rapidly, very quickly. And I want to talk about why I think that we're at the beginning of the end. And I'm not talking about the end time. I'm not talking about the end of the world. I'm talking about the end of the United States of America. And I want to give you, remind you of some ideas. America is very unique in this. It's the only nation that I know of that were started by godly men that recognized the importance of God in their culture. Other nations were not set up this way. Now, God started the nation of Israel, and he chose them. And you remember in Genesis chapter 12, and if you will, turn there with me for a moment. But Genesis 12, when he called Abraham, and he told Abraham that he'd make of him a great nation, and 2,000 years had passed by then, and two of the greatest catastrophes had taken place on earth, if you call that. One was the flood, one was the Tower of Babel. And yet there's only 11 chapters given to that period of time. And then he tells Abraham, he said, I'll bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curse thee. And by thee, in thee, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And God chose Israel, took Israel, told them how to handle daily life, told them how to handle their politics, told them how to handle their laws, told them how to handle their crops, told them how to handle all of the things that they would come up with. How to, God's criminal justice system, the daily marriage, children, all of these things God gave to the nation of Israel as God's chosen people. No other nation carries that. He called them the apple of his eye. Now, the United States, on the other hand, were started by some godly men, and they had not the Bible, but a constitution and a bill of rights to enable man to be free and to remain free and have the opportunity to be successful as he wanted to be. It put the ladder up, so to speak. And only in America do we have some of these things. When you listen to health, wealth, preachers on TV, keep this in mind, that type of gospel won't work in Red China. That's why the message is false. The Bible's a world book. But in Red China, or in India, you can't become successful unless you're born successful. In India, they have the caste system. And if you're born poor, you're going to die poor. That's just the way it works. If you're born rich, then you're going to die rich. That's the way it works. Not in America. We've had a freedom. We've had potential. We've had more good things to take place. But then, in my lifetime, I've seen murder made legal by abortion. And let me say this. It will carry to the elderly. We old folks, if we continue to live, we're not going to have a happy ending. I'm going to tell you that. Because we are a liability. We're a liability on the medical problems, on health care. We are a liability. They learned this in prison. They gave people long sentences. We're going to stop this crime. They gave them long sentences. Now we got people in prison that are just costing the prison. And they don't know what to do with them. They made a mistake. Now, let me, in our town, I've known of two people. One was a man, one was a woman, that had some horrible crimes. And they got very sick. Put them in the hospital. The cost got so high, they just dropped all charges. Said, you can go home. We're not paying anymore. They just dropped the charges. Because of the cost, we're going to have this. So, since old people, so we're not worth much. We can't produce anything. We're not worth anything. So why pay? And so Medicare's got to go. It costs too much. We've got all kind of financial problems, and they're going to start cutting, and that's one of the places they're going to cut. Or we're going to do abortion on the other side, called euthanasia, and get rid of old people. I'm telling you, this is coming. Just because life doesn't mean much anymore. We are going to have a confiscation of weapons. And it's already started with ammunition. Both of my boys are hunters. And one of my sons told me, he said, Dad, I went into academy in Houston. We're not talking about Paul's Valley. We're talking about Houston, Texas. He said there was no ammunition available. Here's a place that handles all kind of ammunition all the time. No ammunition. They were sold out. The thing that Hitler wanted to do, the thing that Stalin wanted to do, first thing he wanted to do is get rid of private ownership of guns. You have to disarm people. We have all of these bleeding hearts that said you ought not to have a gun. Put a sign up in your yard that said this home is not protected by Smith and Wesson. And you're just inviting folks to come up. He put a sign in there that said it is protected. Folks said, well, we'll skip that house and go to the next one. Okay. But this is going to take place. We're seeing this taking place now. We're trying to stop. We're talking about, oh, how bad it is to have guns. It causes, folks ought not have guns. And we've got to pass a law against it. And one of the things that we're seeing is laws are now working for the criminal side and not for the good side. Because law-abiding people will be the only ones without a gun. And the non-law-abiding people will be the ones that will have it. We're seeing destruction of family values. We have no physical discipline. A few years ago, I got a call from my pastor, and he said, Leland, he said, I need a favor, and that's what it is. He said, one of my good church members is in jail. He said, they're a good family. I said, in jail? He said, yeah. He said, it's some kind of home problem. He said, I just got the call. Can you go check on it for me? And I said, yes, sir, I will. Went out, and the fellow had come in from work, and his wife was just wringing her hands. He had a 9-year-old and a 13-year-old boy, both of them boys, and they were giving Mama a hard time. And he was typical redneck West Texan, and he walked in there and said, this ain't happening, boys. And he grabbed the 13-year-old and began to beat on his behind, and the 9-year-old called 911. And the law came out. I was talking to the guy. We sat down. And by the way, he had 24 hours to spend. It didn't make any difference how much money he had. He was going to stay 24 hours in our county jail because family disturbance called for that. You don't get out. You can't bond out. It's 24 hours you sit in jail. And anyway, and he said, Leland, he said, he said the cop showed up at my front door. And they start asking questions, and he said, I proceeded to tell him as my house, I paid for it, and my kids, I'd whip them when I wanted to. Wrong. He said, I learned a lesson. He said, I'm now sitting out here. Now, that was 8 years ago. Constantly. That's why we have our problems in our schools. We've got all of these things going. Nobody can touch the kids. Eric and I were talking about this. But they run over everybody until they get to a guy with a badge. And then they can't do that. That's a rude way. But we're seeing the family structure go down. Divorces, gay marriages, all kind of problems with our family. God built the nation of Israel big on family. America used to be big on family. We've got hate speech versus free speech. And let me tell you what hate speech is. I'm delivering some of it right now. When I mention gay, that will be hate speech. And in our nation right now, there's things that people can't say. And it's not affecting Texas and Oklahoma, but it's affecting California, and it's affecting both coasts. And there'll be a time when nobody can get up and talk about the gay crowd as being perversion of the flesh, because that's going to be hate speech. Nobody can talk about the gay marriages, because that's hate speech, and you can't do that. Even to talk about Jesus Christ being the only way to heaven is going to become hate speech. No longer the free speech. We have global warming. Anybody that's got sense enough to get home knows global warming is a lie. Now, you're pretty well going to convince me that's hot as it is here in Oklahoma. I thought I was going to come up for his cooler. Goodness. Only good thing about being here is we're not in Alva. All right. We've been teaching our kids, and it's getting worse. We're in a fight in Texas over this right now about evolution. Nobody seems to have any qualms about teaching our kids that they come from a blurb. That nothing exploded and created everything. Can you buy that? But we don't have much problem with that. And yet nobody has ever evolved. Looked like somewhere in 6,000 years they'd have caught some old boy evolving. So there he is. Get a picture of that. He's evolved. But we teach that, and we know that's a lie. And yet we accept that. And people, I'm talking about supposedly intelligent people with college degrees, doctorates, and are going for stuff that's more far-fetched than creation by a long shot. Our Bible and prayer is taken out of our schools. We've learned to live with it. Do you realize that the first Bibles ever printed in the United States of America, you know what they're printed for? To be distributed in the school system. The first Bibles ever printed in the United States. And yet, they're out. Well, we need to be tolerant. Let me tell you, two of the worst words, Dr. McLean used to say, one of the worst words in the English language, compromise. I'm going to give you another one, tolerance. I noticed how tolerant Jesus was when he walked into the temple with the money changers. And he was tolerant in it. He overthrew their tables. He scattered their money. He scattered all the animals. He was nasty. And he would have made a modernist throw up. Christ had zero tolerance for those type of things. Look and see how he talked to the Pharisees and the names he called them. Now we have a group of people today in our pulpits that it's almost as if they teach that God, that Christ came to try to play down how bad God had been. And the God of the Old Testament was a bad God. Let me tell you something. God said, I change not. And so the God that destroyed the earth by water is the same God that's going to destroy it by fire. Jesus said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. We just want to see one side. We want to talk about unconditional love. Let me tell you something about unconditional love. It requires a condition of trusting Christ. Think about that. Now, up until now, our great Constitution and our Bill of Rights has not stopped the downward slope that we've been in. We're what? 230-something years old. 33 years of age. We've been the greatest nation probably the world's ever seen outside the nation of Israel. And yet we're seeing, almost like a snowball going downhill, building speed and building size of going and just degrading ourselves in perverseness. Today, the number one addiction is no longer drugs and alcohol. The number one addiction is pornography. Touched everything. We're seeing it more and more and more. Now turn with me to the book of Matthew, if you will, for a moment. Chapter 22. Matthew 22. The fellow came to Jesus and the Pharisees sent him, a lawyer, to ask a question, tempting Christ. Verse 36. Here's his question. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And I want to keep going. Most time we stop there. I want you to notice Christ had a question with this. Because he said, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? And they said unto him, the son of David. God's government that he put together, the nation of Israel, promoted himself. What's the great command? Love the Lord thy God. How'd he say it? With all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Love God. The next commandment, he said, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. What we have done is reversed those commandments. Those of you that keep up with these things, notice that Rick Warren just got through speaking, and he's got the great mega church and considered one of the greatest spokesmen. And he just spoke to the Muslims. And he wanted to talk to them about global things, world peace, how to get rid of AIDS. Not God, but how can we help our fellow man? What can we do for him? And I tell you, we can do nothing for him outside of Christ. First commandment, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Second, love thy neighbors, I said. And when we reverse them, and basically this is what we've done, not knowledgeably, but when godly men put together the Constitution of the United States, one of the greatest documents ever written, the Bill of Rights, one of the greatest documents that we have, that man has put together, they left out one thing. And it was the most important thing that a person ever has to answer in this world. What do you think about Jesus? That was the question. Why thank you of Christ? Whose son is he? Not mentioned. We can help you become successful. We can help you live well. We can help you, except can't get you to heaven. And if you can't do that, we're really not helping much, are we? We haven't done anything, really. And I'm for the freedom that we have, but until a person is saved, I want my kids and my grandkids to have every opportunity, but more than that, I'd rather they'd be in slavery and go to heaven than become millionaires and go to hell. And this is where we are. Three things. Let me give you real quickly. Number one, total depravity of man we've forgotten. And that's good men as well as bad men. That's why the total depravity of man is why all men will always vote for their side, what they want. He's not getting better. There's not a child within him that psychology teaches. There's not a divine spark in every man that with some culture and education he turns out to be real good. Paul talked about the old man and the new man, and he said the old man, which is present tense, it's still rotten to the core. There's no Leland that's as sorry as he ever was. He hadn't improved, hadn't gotten any better. We can clean him up, we can shine him up on the outside, but as Jesus said to the Pharisees, you're like whited sepulchres. On the outside you're beautiful, on the inside you're full of dead men's bones. Man must be changed inside out. Number two, the Constitution and the Bill of Rights left out the way to heaven. Just left it out. God consciousness is great. That's something that we've always had. When I was a younger, before I ever become a Christian, and many of you, I think, agree with this, but we had God consciousness. I can remember as a teenager entering rodeos and standing by Bucking Chute and saying, "Dear God, don't let him kill me." You know, I'm not a Christian, but I know there's a God. We had prayer. We used to have prayer. I think rodeos still do it, and cowboys don't care much. But they've stopped it at ball games and everything else. Can't do that. You're going to hurt somebody's feelings. See, we have to be tolerant. But we were God-conscious. But being God-conscious, you know what James said about being God-conscious? He said the devils believe in God and what? Tremble. Every demon knew Jesus when he walked up. They said, "We know who you are." A lot of people didn't. But he said, "The devils believe in God. That didn't get you to heaven. Except a man be born again. He that believeth not is condemned already." Why? Because he hath not believed in God? No. The only begotten Son of God. That's Jesus Christ. He said, "I am the way." He didn't say I'm an American way, a good way, a nice way, a pretty way, a religious way, best way. He said, "I'm the way." Zero tolerance when it comes to salvation. And then the third thing. The Bible said we've got to come to this end. What do you say about evil men and seducers? They're going to get better and better. We're just going to refine them. They just don't understand that they're mistaken, but as soon as we educate them, they'll be good. We're coming to this end. We have a Muslim president. We're going to see how this works out. We have a House and a Senate that cares little about the Constitution. That's why we come down and all the things that we've already betrayed our Constitution with, we'll continue to do that. And we sat around out there and said, "But that's against the law." But to shoot a man is against the law, but he's still dead. To break into somebody's house is against the law, but they still lost their stuff. And laws do not make any difference except to the people that's going to obey them and other people. And we have seen these things. The things that we went over and things we continue to see. And all of these bailouts. Why do we believe that you can borrow your way out of debt? Isn't that simple? Isn't it just as simple as knowing that somebody created a cup, that somebody made the microphone? How'd that get there? Well, I don't know. It just showed up. Last week we didn't have that because we're using this lapel mic, and that just, I think what happened is Radio Shack blew up. And that's what happened. What was the guy said? The print shop blew up and wrote a book. That's kind of like evolution. Right? Nobody cares. And people start marching. And what we care about is, what am I going to get? That's why people vote the way they do. What am I going to get? We're back to total depravity of man. What am I going to get out of this? I don't care about my neighbor. What am I going to get out of this? Now, one of the things I think it'll be our downfall. You remember what God told Abraham? "I'm going to build thee a great nation. And I'm going to bless them that bless thee." And what? Curse them that curse thee. We have blessed Israel of the one good thing that saved and lost politicians alike have done. It's been pro-Israel. And Israel is an anti-Christ nation. Israel will not allow missionaries. Israel is an enemy as pertaining to the gospel. But God said, I'm going to bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. He didn't say who's right and who's wrong. He said this is how it's going to be. And for the first time, we're in more jeopardy of betraying Israel than we've ever been. And that'll take place. Many of you are prophetic students, good students. And this one thing you know. In all of the end time prophecy, nothing's mentioned about America. Nothing is mentioned about U.S. of A. You say, well, we're one of the major powers. So was Rome when Paul went there in prison. It's not today. So was Egypt and the Pharaohs in the time of Moses, but it's not today. But they're still mentioned. We're not. Now, in Paul's last book, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, Paul had an opportunity. And it's fascinating because he told us in Ephesians that God would give some apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. But in his last book, in the last chapter of that book, to Timothy, he didn't say, Timothy, get them straightened out. Didn't say, Timothy, heal them. Didn't say, Timothy, start a Bible school. He said, Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. If there ever was a time when we've got fields white with harvest, we need to lead them Christ. And let me tell you something. It's real hard to teach the mystery to lost people. Real hard to teach Bible principles to heathen. You're going to have to lead them Christ. Get them saved and then train them in the way they should go. Thank you for all the help y'all do for us. You're very gracious to Linda and I and Loops, and you support us and you help us and you let us have some time. This is like a vacation to us, and it's very rewarding, and you've helped us since day one. I remember that it was Clark and Joe that went out and incorporated Loops. We never had a clue that we'd be a ministry. Didn't plan on it. Didn't want to be. And God is just in spite of us. God is so gracious to us. And I sit down sometime and look at where we are, and when I know that I did not contribute one thing to our success, it is just a thrill. I thank y'all. Thank you for being so good and listening. Continue to pray for us. Our challenges they're so great. But yours are too. Our Father, thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for godly people that's gone before us and made our way easy. Father, we need some men that would stand up and be intolerant to evil. And Father, help us to do what we can do. But also help us to put our faith and trust in you. Not in men, but in you. Help us to be evangelists for you. To be good ambassadors for you. Thank you for this church. Thank you for those that are here. Thank you for those that aren't. Be with them. And Father, we pray that this coming week we'd be what you'd have us to be. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.